So let's turn to Philippians. Philippians. This was the very first church that Paul had set up. You remember there was a jailer. That was the first, one of the first guys. And then there was a very wealthy woman who was a seller of purple goods, very, very valuable. So now you got two weird people together, a wealthy woman and a rough Roman jailer. And then there was a demon-possessed girl. She was the other member of that church. That was the longest-lasting church in the ancient world. That one lasted longer than all the others. It was the first, and it lasted the longest because of the type of members they had. Weird people put together. And I thank God that this Dallas group is like that. Weird people put together. That's good. A church that has, you know, all of one kind, that won't last. We want people that are all gifted differently, come from different backgrounds. And I like it that God just let anybody come. Anybody can come. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I think this way, these seven chairs. I just think that way. The reason I do is because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And every verse in the Bible I can relate to these chairs. So everybody starts out in chair one. You have to be in chair one. Can you all see that? Oh, maybe we're blocking it here. We're blocking it. I'm going to move this away and move this away. Because I want you to understand these chairs because I refer to them all the time. Because this is where everybody starts out as sinner. And I don't think most people like this first chair, but I do. I like this first chair. And even though I'm not a sinner, I still sin. Is there anybody else liketh unto me? You're not a sinner. You're a saint now. But still, you can still sin. And God does not get disturbed. He's not perturbed. He's not, you know, he's not nervous about it. As a matter of fact, we have the only God in the world that took care of sin a long time ago. He's not worried that you sin. He's not disturbed that you sin. I know it sounds like I'm saying go ahead and sin. I'm not saying that. You're going to do it anyway. Even if you try not to, you're going to do it. So I'm not encouraging you to sin. I'm just simply saying we do. Forget the theory, or we ought not. In practice, we do it. Even if you're a mature believer, you still sin. Every day you gotta die daily. Pride will come up every day. Anger will come up every day. Lust will come up. Bitterness, self-pity, jealousy, etc., etc. Covetousness and so on. All those sins will come up. And God has a reason for allowing that. He's not disturbed by that. As a matter of fact, he doesn't want you to lie about it and say, I didn't do it, God, really, I didn't do it. He wants you just to say, okay, I did it. So what? I'm not even going to focus on it. That's the Holy Spirit's job to convict of sin. Why should I help out? The thing that's wrong in the church today, and I'm a prophet, so I'm going to prophesy. The thing that's wrong with the church today is people are trying to be holy on their own. Stop it. Stop being holy. Stop being nice. Stop being wonderful, glorious, powerful, majestic. Let God do all that. Let me know that God is good.
Amen.
That means you're not. And if something good happens, that was God. Yep. If something bad happens, that was you. That's real clear to me. If something good happens, that was God. So if you walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control, if you walk in any of those or all of those, that was God. It wasn't you. Me at my best. Let's see, I did love, joy, and peace today. You don't do anything. You don't do anything. And God doesn't want you to. You are a branch inside a vine. The branch, break it off, and it produces zero, nothing. So our key, the only reason that good things come out of us is because we're connected in a relationship with the living God. We're connected. And that wasn't my idea. I didn't even know how to make the connect.
Yeah.
I wasn't worthy. I wasn't brilliant, great, glorious. And as a matter of fact, he said, this religion, the one that we have, is only for sinners. That was a big group that he made that offer to. This religion that we have is not for good people. It's for people that aren't any good. And I thank God we have a whole room full of people here today that are no good. I love that. I feel totally at home. I feel totally at home. This isn't for nice people. Nice people go to hell. Did you hear what I just said? Nice people, there's no verse for nice people to go to heaven. If you're nice, you're a liar. Because in your heart, okay, you have a new heart. Okay, in your soul. Who cares where it is? There's other stuff going on inside of you. And so anything good, that was God, and he had to kill you to get it. Yeah. In other words, he had to do it in spite of you. Yeah. It didn't do it like, I'll cooperate with God. No, you won't. Your flesh is not going to become Christian, ever. There'll be no flesh in heaven. So you were born, you know, you were conceived in sin. 74 years ago, yesterday,
wow.
I was conceived.
Happy birthday.
No. Conceived. That wasn't birth. I was conceived. That means my mother slept with somebody, bad, naughty, and a young girl, and frivolous, and so on. I don't care. In fact, I'm happy she did. I am really happy that she sinned. And some of you have done it. I don't have to say who you are, but some of you also have done that. Thank God I haven't done that. Hello. How many know us? I have not done it. But how many know that even if you think of it, you've done it in the eyes of God? So let's say you didn't done it, but you thought about it. You were tempted. It's the same. It's the same. You get the same. So from God's point of view, if you even thought about it, you're a sinner. I didn't do it. That was good. No, it wasn't. The reason you didn't do it was you're scared, or you know, you were worried about something or whatever. You know, the only reason that people behave is for other people, not for God. Because God sees right through your fig leaves. He sees right through your pretending and hypocrisy. All of us are wicked to the hilt. And everybody's equally so, even though some show it outwardly and others hide it. But God sees through the hide. He's a God that seeth right through. They got, you know, stuff now. The sky up there can actually see you. Even in the dark. I love that. They can see you in the dark. Now, they can't yet read your thoughts. But they're working on it. They're trying to work on that. It's just a stupid agenda. Because I can tell you exactly what you're thinking.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise. Anyway, man probably will run out pretty soon because God's kind of tired of man pretending like he's awesome. So God doesn't want you to be good. He wants you to admit you're not and cannot be. Ever. Ever. Be. I didn't say do. Be. You can never be good. So, that's too bad. Anyway, I was conceived 74 years ago, and 5 days earlier, Peg was. So she's a little bit older than I am, more mature. And she wanted to scope things out so that when I was born, it'd be nicer. Peg is a good helpmate. She's a good one. I can help you out. And so she's helped out. Thank you. Appreciate that. Amen. I mean, no, God rigs that kind of stuff. Do y'all understand that? That God actually is in charge of everything? And nothing happens without his approval. Did you know that the devil can't do anything unless he gets permission from God? Are you aware of that? He's just a creature. Just a creature. God could wipe him out in a second. So I never bother with the devil. I'm not, you know, always seeking for demons and yeah, demon. It's not of any interest to me. How many know there are demon people that are demonic?
Yeah.
You know, some thought Adolf Hitler was demonic. Okay, fine. But I'm not, you know, I could throw out all the demons out of somebody and they could come back.
Yeah.
Until you get rid of the sin of lying or something. The demon of lying doesn't produce the sin. You did it. Just because you throw out the spirit of lying doesn't mean you don't lie. You understand that? So it doesn't do any good just to throw out all those demons unless you grow up, unless you take responsibility for the sin of lying. And don't tell lies. Why? Especially don't tell lies to God because he can see right through them. Parents are like that. Some kids will lie. Little kids will lie. Did you take her toy? You can just see the fear and the terror in their eyes. They don't know that. They think if they act like that, then they are like that. They think they're well hidden because they don't want a spanking. But parents can see right through that. Now, I like it the way God did it. In the garden, remember in the garden? Both Adam and Eve had sinned. And God came in and said, this is so cool. Adam, where are you? And he knew exactly where he was. Adam, as though God were dumb. As though he didn't know exactly where his kids were. Where are you? He wasn't talking about where are you. He had GPS. He knew exactly where they were. So he wasn't talking about where are you. He was talking about where are you in relationship to me. In other words, you've sinned and you're no longer connected to me. You're now connected to the tree of which I told you don't. So something happened fundamental, not existential, but essential, fundamental. In other words, you're not related to me anymore. You don't trust me anymore. You broke relationship with me. You are a rebellious now person. Where are you? Did you know you have to know where you are? You have to know where you are. And the gospel, chapter 4, 5, and 6, the gospel is only for those that are wicked. It's for people that rebel. We don't have a religion for righteous people. Because there aren't any. So we don't have a religion for good Hindus or good Buddhists or good Christians or good anybody's. We only have a religion for people that have failed. So is everybody here a failure?
Yes.
I know you are, but just give you a chance here to fess up. Is, you know, I'm wicked to the hilt. I'm devious too. Clever. Brilliant. Unbelievable. Now, if you say, oh, I've never thought that, Pastor, that's good. You're a liar. You lied. Now, God knows all that stuff, and he didn't bother. He didn't even catch them. God didn't even catch them, but he could have, because he saw right through their lies. And so he comes to Adam. Adam, did you eat of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? No, you the woman you gave. I love that. Don't you love that? If I were God, I'd just smack him right there. I'd just smack him. You liar. I'd just grab a hold of him and shake him. Don't you lie to me or you'll go to hell right now. He already said he was going to kill him. So, and Adam was just thinking of one thing. Don't admit your guilt. Just don't do it. Just hang on to those fig leaves. And so they were totally covered. Totally covered in fig leaves. Imagine they were all over the place. Adam, who told you you were naked? Isn't that an interesting question from a God who knows everything? Who told you you were naked? Where did you get the idea that you needed these fig leaves all over you? In other words, don't you know I see right through fig leaves? I can see your nakedness. You're raw. He's not talking about nudity. He's talking about them pretending that they could hide from God all their thoughts and feelings and deeds and everything. You can't hide anything from God. He knows everything you think and say and do from beginning to end. Before you were even born, he knew everything you were going to do. And yet he borned you anyway. He brought me forth. And you know, I was not a good person. Didn't want to be. Didn't feel guilty when I did bad things and so on. I was sneaky, lying, cheating, filthy, corrupt, profane, evil. And God liked me. Isn't that funny? God knew everything about me and liked me. Other people, they didn't know everything about me because I didn't let them know. Kept it to myself. Looked innocent when I was guilty. Has anybody else had that gift?
Yep.
I look innocent like, what? What did I do? And I actually practiced that. I practiced looking innocent when I was totally, absolutely, totally cold, selfish, nasty. Step on you and exploit you in a second. That's me. And God brought me forth. Said, hey, I'd like to have one of those. I'd like to get a boy like that on my team. And I never went to church. I never darkened the door of a church till I was 11. And that was because my third father, Adolf Hitler, forced us to go. You are now 11. It's time for you to go to confirmation. Or 12. No, 11. Sixth grade. I think I was in sixth grade. Anyway, so that we had to kind of get used to it and then go into confirmation. So I could learn right and wrong. Because I don't think he knew that I did what I did because I hid it. In fact, I'm sure he did not know what I did. But he just thought church would be good for me. And I'd learn morals. I didn't. I just learned hypocrisy. I just learned how devious Christians were. Not me, I was already devious. And I recognized they're just like me. They just do it this way, I do it this way. So, why am I saying that? Because chair number one, God likes this chair. He likes this chair. Sit here. Sittest thou here. And so when God sees someone here, he loves them. Did you know that God unconditionally loves somebody sitting in chair one? I mean, I don't care who they are, how demonic they are, or whatever else. God loves sinful people. Did you know that Jesus said, I came for sinners? I didn't come for the righteous. I came for sinners. I came for sinners. God wants to forgive sinners. He's making, amnesty for them. He's making, a special deal where anybody can come on in. It's amazing. So this religion is the only religion in the world built for sinners. Buddha does not want sinners. Muhammad, and Allah, they don't want sinners. You pray four times a day, you're out. No beer for you. No virgins for you. You're out, sorry. So, those other religions are rough because they want you to behave. Now, they may not want a new heart, but they at least want good behavior. Pray five times a day, 2.5% of your income. Go to Mecca once in a lifetime if you can, and at least do Ramadan every fall. I mean, they're into that. So they got their little things, and all the other religions have their things. Do I respect them? No, not at all. Do I love the people? Sure, totally. But do I think their religion is worth anything? No, it's rubbish. It's complete rubbish. God sees right through it. But I don't have to grab them by the throat. It doesn't matter to me. Do what you want. Believe what you want. But later, it'll be a big surprise. So let me tell you about Jesus. I'll tell you about the religion I found. This is a good one. This one takes sinners in, and then not only forgives them, but reconditions them. You know, puts them back into the way they were supposed to be in the first place. And then it just perfects you so that you're even better than the original product. Even better than Adam and Eve. I mean, after all, Adam and Eve were innocent for a while, and then they sinned. You don't want to go back to that. You don't want to just go back to that. You want to have a whole new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. It's a perfect past. I've been born again. Now that's a perfect present. Present perfect. That's amazing. So, I'm a new creation. Can you believe it? The guy who was conceived in sin, and sin did my mother conceive me. Isn't that amazing? That scripture means a lot to me because it's a perfect description of who I actually am, a bastard. I was born a bastard. In 1940, when I was born, that was Hitler time and so on and so forth. If you were a bastard, you were not legal. You didn't have any legal standing. You could not inherit. I couldn't inherit anything from anybody because I didn't have any legal standing. And I was 4 years old till I got my first birth certificate, which totally lied. Then my second one, I got another one, which totally lied. And then I got another one, a third one. Each father gave me a different one. And they were all lies. They were all lies. And one just totally, absolutely lied. The third father, John, he said I was his son and that he was my father. And it dates it. In other words, it lies on the state form, you know, birth certificate. It lies on there and says, he was there when I was born. He wasn't there. I was born out of wedlock, and there was nobody there. Not even the dad. He wasn't even there. He didn't even know I existed. He just, you know, slept with my mother, and that was it. And then they never saw each other ever again. So that was the end of that. And I got to meet him later and talk to him. That was Peggy. Peggy wanted me to meet my original birth father. I think she thought he might be a banker. We could take a loan or something. But I personally did not want to meet him. I thought, he's a jerk. I mean, anyone that would bring me forth, because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I think he's a jerk. He'll probably borrow from me. I don't want to see the guy. I know he's a bad guy. And I knew what town he came from. You know, around Chicago, you know where everybody lives because everybody lives in neighborhoods, you see. And that little town was right next to our town. And it was mafia. It was all bad guys. And it turned out he did. He worked for Jimmy Hoffa. His brother, Uncle Tom, he was mafia. His other brother, Vic, he was mafia, and so on. Then on my mom's side, they also were mafia. Uncle Duke, and his name isn't Duke. They called him Dukes in the Irish mafia. And he was a duke, meaning he was a big shot. He was a head of the mafia. And that was my uncle, but his name really was Louis. You know, Louis Locander. So I have a weird background. Yeah. But you know what? So what? Jesus loved me.
Amen.
Hey, that is good news. Amen. Did you know Jesus can take anybody and transform them into perfect? That's so basic. He can take garbage, trash, and turn it into perfect. That was amazing. And I was able later in life, then after I became a Christian, to talk to my mother. She got saved. Talked to my father, third father. He got saved. Then I went and visited my first father, biological. Then we went and got the other guy that stayed a couple years and then took off. We also witnessed to him. And they were all liars. They were all bad. I loved it. I thought it was fun. And first thing I told them was, I love you. I love you. They were like, what? For what? Because you birthed me. That was the first guy. No, that was awesome to me because I would not be here if he hadn't birthed me.
Amen.
I love what they did. I do. I don't care that they committed adultery or fornication or whatever they did. I don't care. Because I wouldn't be here otherwise. I want to be me. I don't want to be what I ought to be. I want to be what I am. My grandmother married four times, and the last one she married was Dick Ham. And he used to say when we were little kids, because there were never any men around, but he was out in the garage. He lived out in the garage. Seriously. I mean, it was a detached garage, and he lived out there. And he used to say, my name is Dick Ham, and I don't give a damn who I am. and it kind of rhymes, you know. And he, you know, went through the war, and he was kind of toughened up and so on. But my grandmother was interesting, too, my mother's mother. She used to wrestle with alligators and snakes in the circus. So she was, that was one awesome woman. she was cool. So I think I have a great family, but I never knew any of them. Didn't care about them. I was just surviving, and that was World War II. Adolf was, you know, conquering Poland and Czechoslovakia, and then he was right on to France and conquered them, and then he was bombing Britain. So that's when I was born. What a great time to be born. It's an awesome time. Because it's grim. I mean, that guy almost conquered the world. Just about. That was cool. And I was born. I remember them telling me, don't say anything against Germans and Russians. This is a little kid. Wow. I don't even know who Germans and Russians are. But don't speak against them. Because they were trying to keep me from getting in trouble because I could do it easily. And so they just, don't do that. Anyway, why am I doing this? Because I'm just telling you, sinners is not got a problem for God. He knew he created mankind, didn't make him sin, told him not to, but then when they did, which he knew they were going to do, he didn't hate them. Instead, he told Jesus, don't let this sinner pay for it. You pay for all his sins. Huh. It gives this guy a chance to believe that Jesus is all his righteousness. He doesn't have any of his own, never will, never can, ever. Once you fix yourself, you're fixed. But Jesus had another move. I was out of moves. Because, you know, it said in the Old Testament, if you sin one time, if you break the law in one part, you broke the whole law. In other words, if you kill one person, you're a killer. It's just like, that guy killed 10, I only killed one. If you grade on a curve, you know, I was better. But God doesn't grade on a curve. If you all notice that? If you just do one imperfection, one scratch on the new car, it's scratched. It's no good anymore. I remember when we got a good car. First thing Peggy did was she wanted to put some soup in the back of it. And I, Peg, don't put that soup back there. It'll be fine. Peg, really, I hate it that you're going to do that. I don't want to ruin this car. I'm putting it back there. Don't want it in the car with me. And then sure enough, it spilled. And boy, I didn't just hate what she did. I hated her. You ruined this automobile. It doesn't have value anymore. You just stole a lot of value. And she remembers that story for some reason. I guess because I said, I hate you. Because I told you not to put that soup there. It'll be fine. Do y'all see that? It could have been a divorce right there.
Good.
Or a murder.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm capable of flying off the handle. Do you know what that it is? I just go into rage sometimes. I go into just rage mode. Though I'm a pastor, most of the time, I can go into rage. Is there anyone else like me?
Amen.
I mean, oh, I just go bananas sometimes. I just I remember when David was 12 and he had just rolled his eyes. You know what I mean? And I'd asked him a question. Did you do blah, blah, blah? And the way he gave the answer, I didn't like it. So I grabbed him, You know, just thrust them up against the wall. Just pick them right off the ground. Just thrust them up against the wall. Don't you ever lie to me. And the little girls were just standing there. Her eyes were like saucers. He's going to kill him. Dad is going to kill David. So Mom also was standing there. Please don't hurt him. Don't hurt him. It was, but you know, when you're in a rage, you don't care. You know, what I didn't like is he rolled his eyes at me. He didn't do it right. And so, you know, do y'all see that?
Yep.
So, anyway, so Peg said to me later, because David related more to her than to me because she spoiled him and stuff. And she said, you notice he always comes to me, because he doesn't like you. Because you remember what you did? You've ruined him for life. You've marred him. And I said, no, I have not. He's fine. He is not. You've ruined him. He'll never go to you. So I called him. David, come here. Did I mar you for life? What are you talking about? No, well, you know, when I grabbed you by the throat, yelled at you and so on. I don't remember. Well, you know, I grabbed it like this and threw you up against the door over there. Remember that? And I exploded. No, I don't remember. Well, how if you don't remember, how can I mar you for life? Mother says I've marred you for life and you don't like me and you hate me secretly. No. And Mom was sitting right there listening. And so he said, I said, well, I'm sorry I did that. I was stupid and I was evil. And he said, well, he walked away. I probably deserved it. And then that was it. So you see, I did not mar him. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
What a good God we have.
Yeah.
Amen. Love sinners. Mm-hmm. Do you know that Christians sin?
Yes.
Are you aware of that? Christians, I mean, real Christians, they'll sin. Even if they're mature. Even if they're chair 6 or chair 5, I don't care what chair they're in. They can still sin. I mean, the best of sinners. Remember King David? He was a good guy. King David. He wrote 50 Psalms. And then, in the spring of the year when kings go to war, something happened. You remember that? In the spring of the year, every spring when the snow thawed and, you know, the ground softened up and so on, kings then would get their chariots ready and they'd go to war. They didn't want to go in the wintertime when it's cold. Like you see these guys working on the road out here, man. That must be cold. I'm from Yankee land and it gets cold up there. Well, it's cold today. And so in the spring of the year, he didn't ask God. Remember David always seeks after God? Well, this time he didn't. He decided, you know, every time I go to war, I always win. God is always with me. There's no need to go to war. I think I'll just let my lieutenants and whatever, this, go to war. I'm sure we'll win. I'm just going to stay at home for once. I'm getting older. You know, this thing is kind of wearing me down. It's going to battle all the time and winning all the time. It's just getting boring. So he decided he had nothing to do. So he's standing around on the rooftop and he looks over and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath outside. Oh my gosh, that's his best friend's wife. They live right close to the palace where he is right there. And what does he do? He falls into sin. And then he has to figure out how to kill the husband because it's his best friend. And it's a great story. It's a great story. But here's how it concludes, because he wasn't writing many psalms during this period of time. Do you know what I'm saying? Didn't have a lot of psalms. Because he stopped that when it was spring of the year and he didn't go to war thing. He just stopped the psalm writing thing. So 50 and then 51. Now here's how it starts. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. Man of God. This is the man after God's own heart. This is his favorite guy.
Yeah.
This is his best guy. And he messed up. So you can be mature and still sin. And here's how he ended that little verse. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, done that which is evil in thy sight. Create in me a clean heart. I need a totally new heart. This old heart, evil. And I can't erase it or suppress it or repress it or hold it back any longer. Every once in a while, it just does bad. Is there anyone else like that? Every once in a while, you just bad just comes out. You're trying to hold it back so you can go to heaven, and somehow it just bursts out suddenly. It's just in a moment when you're caught off guard. Has that ever happened to anybody here?
Yes.
Well, so you see, we're all sinners. Even though you're a saint, you still sin. Anyone who saith, I have no sin, maketh God a liar. If you say you have no sin, you just called God a liar, because he said even Christians sin. Until the day you die and the trumpet blows, you'll still sin. But when the trumpet blows, you get a new body.
Hallelujah.
And a new soul. Woo! That'll be great. Amen?
Amen.
I'm enjoying this. This is good. And I haven't even got the chair. I haven't even got to those chairs. This is a comfortable chair. This is a very comfortable chair for me. I'm a natural. I am a natural born sinner. Amen? Is anybody else liketh unto me? Really? This is a good chair because God says everybody's born here. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. And actually, you're conceived in sin, as King David said. In sin did my mother conceive me. Now, mine was literal. But some of you, you're also same. Why? Adam and Eve goofed the whole race up. Do y'all see that? You say, well, Pastor, if I was back there, I wouldn't have sinned. You just did. You lied. You just did. Are you so unaware of your life and what you think and feel and want and so on that you don't know how selfish you are? You only care about yourself. Is everybody aware of that, that you're selfish? You're not really thinking of God all the time or reading the Bible with warmth and so on. Sometimes you read it cold. Sometimes you read it and, you know, it doesn't make any sense, and you want to go watch TV or something else or drink a beer. You're not really interested in God. He knows that. Are you all aware of that? There are moments in your life when it's obvious you are not in love with Jesus. Right? And you treat other people in a, you know, the way they deserve.
Yeah.
I wouldn't normally do this, but you caused me to do this. Did you know that you can justify any sin you do?
Totally.
So that it doesn't even look like a sin? But it is. Did you know that? Yeah. You know that you can justify anything. People are clever, and when they start talking, you know they're sinning. Well, I wouldn't have done that, except you did this, or whatever. They're just trying to justify their sin. But for God, there's no justification in anything you say or do. You sinned, you chose to sin, you wanted to sin, and that's why you sinned. I did not. I didn't want to sin. But that other person did this. This happened, and circumstances were like this. That's why I did it. And any normal person would have done it. Normal people are all sinners. That's what a normal person is. Wicked to the hilt. All have sinned and fallen short. How many know short is short? I mean, you didn't make it. So if you're not like God, you're not like God. And there's nobody, all flesh sins, period. And never nonsense. They're always sinning. All the time. But this next group here, the hypocrite group, we've talked about that before. Don't be one of these. Then this group here, this is what you repent of these two. You repent of these two, and then you aim in this direction. So you see how he repented against the, you know, proud towers of Baal, Babel, all that. And then he had the Ten Commandments. You know, and they judge all flesh and all religion and all morality and all man's goodness and man at his best state is altogether
vanity.
It's nothing. So the only thing you can do is go to chair 4. You don't go back here. Here's man at his worst state. Here's man at his best state. Here's religious people, moral people. They're the same to God. He doesn't see any difference between chair 1 and chair 2. Do y'all see this? These are the two groups that killed him. It wasn't the harlots. I don't know if you know that. The harlots, murderers, and thieves did not kill Jesus. It was the Jewish religious hypocrite lying people that said they were better than others. Thank God I'm not like other men, and so on and so forth. Well, you are like other men. Did you know that everyone here is as bad as I am? Are you all aware of that? Could you please help me out today by saying amen?
Amen.
Yeah, because we're all like. I feel better now. Peg, praise God. I haven't even got to my sermon. Oh, you were standing up.
No.
No. I have the best wife.
Amen.
I have the best wife. She's awesome. She's awesome. Perfect wife. Why? Because I don't know why. She just is. God says, this is my gift to you. Isn't that amazing? Do you know you're the perfect church?
Yes.
Did you know you're perfect? That means you're perfect. Why? That's the one God gave me. You know, anything God gives is always perfect. Even though it doesn't look perfect, it doesn't look perfect. It doesn't look perfect. The way he wraps it, you can't tell there's something valuable inside. Yeah. It's just like it's not wrapped right. But sometimes things that are wrapped in, you know, newspaper or whatever turn out to be valuable. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things that are beautiful wrapping, they turn out to be worthless. Yeah. I used to do that as a joke to my kids. Used to wrap up their nice toys in newspaper and then wrap up something beautifully, and there'd be nothing in it. They were so disappointed. It's like they're just, I don't know, that was wrong. I just have that wicked sense of humor. Does anybody else have that? Okay. Am I likable? No. No. I'm not a people pleaser. I don't really care what people think or feel or want or anything. I just always took care of me, and Jesus loved me and then changed me. Isn't that amazing? I am now the absolute best person in the whole world. How did that happen? He killed me. Did you know that when Jesus loves you, it actually kills your selfish, natural self? Because he takes care of everything. Not only does he forgive me in chair 4, not only does he discipline me in chair 5 and kill me, but then I become a lover. And how did that happen? Well, that's just the way it is. So, Tim, how could I judge anybody when I am as rotten as they come by nature, but I'm no longer that person? Now I got Jesus living inside of me. Did you know it's who lives inside of you that makes the difference? It's not who you are, it's who's inside of you, that's who you are. I'm going to say that again. It's not who you are, it's who's inside of you, that's who you are.
That's right.
So if the devil's inside of you, you're devilish. If you're inside of you, you're rotten to the core. But if it's Jesus inside of you, wow! Because he cleans up. As soon as he comes in as a sinner, he cleans the place up. Then pretty soon he perfects it. And he says, you are now my temple. Wow. So all he has to do when he comes in is, first of all, you believe in him because he's for you. The next thing he does is he starts working in you till you're dead. And the next thing he does is live through you, manifesting his glory, majesty, and power. So, for, in, through. Get those three prepositions down. He's first for you, chair 4. 4-4. Then in, chair 5. And then through, works through you. Did you know the Holy Ghost is working through you? Philippians. Here it is. Philippians 2:13. Let's read it. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do. So that's chair 5 and 6. God works in you to will it, because you don't even want to be holy. But he works in you to will. That's the first thing. When you want to be holy, you know that was God. Let God be God. And I do. I want to be holy. I want to be the best husband, the best father, the best pastor, the best friend, the best, you know, whatever, best enemy lover. I just want to be the best. Why? He's in me to will. I don't need to feel it. I just believe it. I totally believe it. I don't need fruit to prove it. I don't need feelings to prove it. I don't need anything. I just read it in the Word and I say, that's it. That's who I am. So, Randy, I love you with all my heart, soul, and strength. That's who I am. Now, you love me too, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't understand it. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you feel it right now? Do you feel love just oozing out of you for Pastor Jim? I knew he didn't. That's why I picked him. I knew he didn't. He was mad that I even pointed him out. Now, what I want you to know is you don't have to behave in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, you're not on your honor to behave. You're not a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout or something. You're just you. You're just you. And God loves you just the way you are. When I was younger, we had a hymn called Just As I Am Without One Plea. Remember that one? That was a good one. And I used to love that song because it described me to a T. You know, it was a good song. Just as I am without one plea. And I thought, that's me. I don't have a plea. In other words, I don't have any hope. I'm not doing anything good. I'm not thinking anything good. I'm not feeling anything good. I'm no good. And I knew that. I have never, ever, ever, ever in my life thought or felt warm and good toward anybody. I've always thought selfishly, just how can I abuse you? How can I use you? How can I exploit you? How can I deceive you and trick you? How can I con you out of whatever? That's all my thoughts, 100%. Never had one kind thought toward my mother, my father, my three fathers, my whatever. I never cared for anybody but me. I always took care of me. Isn't that amazing? Do you see what a sinner is? I'm very much, very much like David Halverson. I'm very much like him, which is sad. It's sad. The two of us are pathetic. Sad. And Janet, I think, will verify that. Amen. It's good. So, you see, stop behaving. Let Jesus do it. He doesn't like it when you do the work that He alone can do. He doesn't like you doing what He alone can do. He's perfect in all of His ways. He's perfect. You are not. You cannot do one perfect thing. None of your works will make it to heaven. Do you know they're all wood, hay, and stubble? They'll just burn up in the fire. Boom, shh, gone. All your best work. Ooh, don't burn that one. Oh. Did you know that everything that you did down here, it burns? Are you aware of that? Every good thing you did, it was no good. God just lights a match to it. That thing burned right up. And it's just wood, hay, and stubble. But only gold, silver, precious things that God makes, those don't burn up. In fact, they purify through fire. So that's how He can tell the difference between good and bad, what you did and what He does. So right now you are, you don't know this, but you are the jewels. You are the jewels of God. Say it, I'm one of God's jewels. Yeah, you are. Because God made you what you aren't naturally. He made you what you aren't culturally. He made you into a jewel for Himself that He absolutely adores, loves, and treasures forever. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Doesn't really say that in the Greek. What it's saying is peace, shalom, on earth, just like it is in heaven, with men with whom I'm well pleased. In other words, I'm well pleased with you not because you were good. I'm well pleased because you believed on me. And then you allowed me to discipline you and you submitted to it. And then you allowed me to love through you by living inside of you because I emptied you of you and put me inside the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then I accomplished things and that is well-pleasing to me that you did nothing and I did everything. Yeah. Yeah. So that your deeds are not yours. They were wrought in God. God wrought them. The Holy Ghost wrought them. That's why it said right there in that verse I just read, He's in you to will and then to do of His good pleasure. You didn't will it or do it. You don't have to do it. Don't help Him out. Like, God, okay, I'm willing. You're not willing. Stop that. Silly. You're not willing to do anything but your own will. So you, when you say, not my will but thine be done, that's a miracle. That's not you at your best. That's God keeping his promise. He said, no, I will perfect you. The good work I began in you I will surely complete. Wow. You could you work with me? Sure. Do you have any good parts? No. Then I can work with you. Because if you have anything good, I can't work with you. If you're smart, I can't work with you. If you're strong, I can't work with you. If you're smart, clever, I can't work with you. I can only work with people that are total losers. You got a good one here, God. I am a mess. I'm like Logan. I really am. Logan, I think you and I have something in common. You got a phony side to you. Yeah. He does. Logan, tell him.
I do have a phony side.
Yeah, right. You see? I mean, he looks nice here, but he's phony. He's phony. He hides a lot of bad stuff. Amen? Do you know the rest of you are like Logan and me?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, is there any hope for us? Yes. What? That Jesus Christ is your righteousness.
Hallelujah.
How can you add anything to Jesus Christ's righteousness when it's perfect? Everything he thought, everything he said, everything he did was for me. It was for me, chair 4. Then he worked it in me, chair 5, killing me. And then he lived through me, chair 6. We're lovers.
Amen.
And his love is for me, then it works in me, and then it works through me to others. That's amazing. So Peg is now incredibly blessed by the fact that I'm dead. Do you see that? She's incredibly blessed. I mean, no one could be more blessed than Peg. Tell him, Peg.
That's true.
Did you see that? Did you hear it? Sincere, genuine. This is great. This is great. Amen. Well, even if it was, you know, a little bit. I like it. It's good. I have to pay her afterward to say that, but it works good. I am no prize, but then nobody is. Hollywood, you remember Hollywood? You know, they always have marriages and then they don't last. You ever notice that? Because nobody's a prize. Doesn't matter how good you look or how well you're an actress or whatever, or actor or whatever. In the end, it's just a person.
Yeah.
It's a person. Exactly like me. I remember marrying Gary Busey. I didn't marry him, but some of this other girl did. I was kind of tricked into it. But anyway. But I knew it wasn't going to last. I mean, I knew that. This is ridiculous. We did it down at the Meyerson here in Dallas. You know, big thing and whatever. But I could tell this guy is, you know, he's a Christian. I mean, he loved Jesus. But he also had some other flaws.
Yeah.
But my kids were just, their eyes were just bugged out. Dad marrying Gary Busey. It's like he's just a jerk like I am. This is a complete idiot. And so, you know, but you know what? God loves people. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? He is not a respecter of persons. He'll take anybody. Y'all come. That's kind of a Texan guy. God is just like that. He will take anybody with no standard. No standard whatever. Where is his law? Where are the, you know, do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that? There's no law. Do you know that God loves sinners who repent? Which he does. He does. You are the sinner. That's your part. His part is to tell you the good news. Have faith in me. Don't obey, but have faith in me. That even though you disobeyed, I love you. And don't be a hypocrite. For goodness sake, don't be a hypocrite. How many know that there are Christians who are hypocrites?
Yep.
There's 4 of them in this room right now. 4. I could point out who they are. Logan is one. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Logan is one. Peggy's the other one. I'm the other one. There's one more. You know who you are. And I'm not gonna point you out. Dan? Exactly. I was going right for Dan. That's good. Now, God does not care. Just like he didn't with Adam and Eve. Remember? They both lied to him. I mean, lied. The woman thou gavest me. This guy's accusing God. Of, you know, how bad can you be? You not only are naked and you did stupid stuff, but now you want to lie to God and think you're going to get away with it, then try to lie to yourself and pretend like the fig leaves are really, really covering and so on. You can't fool God like that. But he didn't say anything. He did not say, you liars. He didn't. I love that. And then Eve blamed the snake because she had, you know, he blamed God. She blamed the snake. You know, most people do that. They either blame the devil or God. They're trying to put it off onto somebody. And so, you know, they just try to find somebody they can blame. Well, it's God's fault. He made me this way. Or, you know, God, you know, whatever. I mean, people are clever. People are clever. But God wants you to know, he loves all people. He loves even hypocrites. Did you know he even loves hypocrites? The point is that a hypocrite is just a person that's a sinner with a mask on. So it's really just the same thing as a sinner. But God even, remember on the cross? All those hypocrites were killing him. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In other words, they're acting in ignorance. They're thinking, I can't see through their fig leaves. They're ignorant of the fact that you can lie to yourself, you can lie to God, but I can see right through you. But I'm not going to catch you. I'm going to die for you. So you can come in too. You can repent. I forgive both those groups, one and two. I want you to have faith in the cross, in the blood that I shed. Have faith that'll justify you, because you're not having faith in yourself. You're having faith in me to be your righteousness that you didn't ever have. As a one and two. Now, I'll do all that. And then, not only that, I'll discipline you and disciple you if you want. If you don't want, I won't force. I'm not going to force. I died for you and you believed that I died for you. Now I want to live in you and clean you up, get rid of you so that there's no more you producing all that bad stuff. And then you'll be my disciple, and then when you're fully taught, you'll be like me. And that'll be in number six. You'll be a lover. I want to marry you. I want us to be lovers forever and ever and ever. In the next world, too. And then you're going to sit on the throne, the bridal throne, for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. And you know what? It's just right around the corner. We're at the very last day. And I want to make sure everybody here goes into the millennium and that you get there. What do you have to do to qualify? Nothing. You don't have to do anything. God just, he just opened it up for anybody. Just say, well, I don't believe in all that sin. It never gave me happiness. I sinned galore. It didn't give me happiness. Then I was a hypocrite galore. That didn't give me happiness. So forget that. I don't believe in that anymore. That's all repent means. I changed my mind on that. I'm going to see my whole life as Jesus, nothing but Jesus, just Jesus, nothing but Jesus. Everything is Jesus, and there's nothing but Jesus. There's no Buddha, there's no Hindu, Allah, none of that stuff. That's not true. None of that's true. They're all liars. They're just chair two people. So all those other religions, they put too much weight on me to behave. And, you know, the others are just misbehave. Okay, that was me, misbehave. Peggy's a behave. So we got both in the same family. It was amazing. Peggy always behaves, I always misbehave. And every once in a while, she misbehaves. Especially when I misbehave, it makes her misbehave. I've inspired her. It's a gift. I guess it's a gift that I have to bring out the worst in her. Because she'll find she's just mad sometimes at me. She gets so mad. I love this one. If I had a knife right now, I'd stab you. I love that. That is so accurate. Isn't that, you see what a good person she wasn't in that moment? But I was next to the knife drawer and I was just like holding it. And she's done a few others, but I won't mention them. But they're colorful. They're very colorful. And when she gets into a rage like that, that's when I tell her, you really look beautiful right now. That makes me mad. Don't say that. She just gets more upset. Did y'all see that? Do you wish you were married to me? Someone that had a great sense of humor like that could just delight in her being evil. I love it when she's evil. Because then we're even. See that? I mean, I like the teeter-totter to be like this rather than like this where she's better or smarter or whatever. You never have a divorce if you're both equal. So I always help out by when she's, you know, obviously better and so on. I help out by knocking the teeter-totter the other way. Y'all don't see that. It's a gift. It's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. Wouldn't it be good if we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we could all get along with one another if we were all not
Amen.
Superior to one another? You can't judge another person. You don't even know anything about them. They're a billion, trillion times worse than they appear. So what good is it to judge them? They're already doomed. Look, with the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. Did you know that you can't judge anybody else? That God wants you. I'm going to close with this last verse because Peggy's ready to leave. Here's the last verse. 4:13. Philippians 4:13. It's better.
Yeah.
That one said, He's in you to willing to do. What? God's good pleasure. What's the fourth chapter? It says, well let's read it. Let's read what it says. Fourth chapter. All right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, how can you do all things through Christ? Can you do all things? No. Can you do some things? No. Can you do anything? No. You can only sin. But I can do, not just believe, chair 4. I can do, not just even chair 5, be disciplined, submitted to his discipline. But I can actually do, chair 6, all things. All things. I have no excuse now not to be completely like Jesus. Wow. That's incredible. That's a joke. That is amazing. That you actually could be holy in this world, so much so that men, when they see your good works, would give glory to the Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So, I can do all, not some, all things through Christ, who, because he dwells in me, through the Holy Ghost, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to have one of those. But you don't have to have it like forced. You have to have it like it's voluntary. Just take it.
Yeah.
He's given you his own spirit, which if he lives in you, then you can do stuff that's perfect. You can have perfect on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. As it is in heaven, everybody's spiritual up there. So on earth. Let's be spiritual down here. We could be the first group down here that's completely spiritual. How? Believe in Jesus. Just follow chair 4, 5, and 6. He's for me, he's in me, he's working through me. He's for me, he's in me, he's working through me. The Holy Spirit, when he has come, he's the power guy. Mm-hmm. He's the delivery guy. Remember when you make a promise? Jesus died on the cross, and this is what he said. I'm dying for all mankind. That's a promise. But now you have to deliver on that promise. Chair 5. He's in me now to kill off my old man, so it's gone, and not just forgive it, but actually kill the love of sin that's in all of us. How? By falling in love with him. Just beholding him, you're changed. And then to actually become a lover because he is strengthening you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now I have the strength to actually be. This is who I really am. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. I actually can be a Christian and not just talking about it or believing in it, but actually do it. Isn't that amazing? Would that not be a real church? Instead of just a talk church, you know, fake, phony, looking like. It would be good if we actually would love one another, forgive one another, could actually start talking in a heaven way rather than an earth way. Do you know the language of this Bible is not like any language on earth? It's a different language. For example, God loves sinners. That is not in any religion. Buddha does not love sinners. Muslims, they don't love sinners. You can't get in any of those other religions. Masonry, you know, any of them. Philosophies and Confucianism and all that. It's just all nonsense. Because they're trying man to behave. Well, behavior is not being. It's just doing, and it can just be a fake. No, this is the real thing. This is the only religion that can actually transform you and give you a new heart and a new soul, 4, 5, and 6, a new body, a new life. So you actually could behave by the power of the Holy Ghost rather than by your own power. Now, I've believed this for umpteen years and lived it. What's neat about it is you can't stop it. I'm not afraid of Al-Qaeda or, you know, idiocy or socialism or whatever else. Let them do what they want to do. I'm not afraid of phony churches, fake churches, hypocrites. That doesn't bother me. Why? I got God. If you just seek first the kingdom of God, he'll give you everything else. So there's nobody out there, Satan or bad people or whatever. There's nobody out there that's scary. You're the problem. Are you actually in love?
Yeah.
I didn't mean get in love. I just mean he's worth loving.
Amen.
And that's a work of God. You can't make it happen. You can't, you know, God, make it happen. You can't force God to do it. He wants to do it. So just take his offer. He's offering something in 4. If you take it, then you can ask for 5, and you can take that, and he'll deliver on that promise. Not in the world to come, this world, right now, today. Lord, I want to be perfect like Pastor Jim. I know after the picture I drew, some of you don't want to be like me. But you know what? With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged, so be careful. So you don't want to do that. I tell you what, God wants all of us to be like Christ. Okay? Not to get into heaven. Not to get into heaven. You go into heaven just because you believe in Jesus. He wants you to do that for others to get into heaven. That only is 6. You can't do it through 5 and 4. Your faith deep inside doesn't help anybody. Your going into discipleship doesn't help anybody. The only thing that helps is fruit. Where you're actually looking like, acting like, talking like, and walking like, so they can see it and say, that's God. The living God is inside of you. I give glory to the Father in heaven. That has not happened. That has not happened for the 2,000 years that we've been a church. Okay? Now the end has come. We're almost into the millennium. So, since Jesus came, God has wanted that for 2,000 years and it still hasn't happened. So, I'll tell you right now, it's going to start right here in Dallas.
Amen.
I prayed to God he would do it in Fort Worth, but he would not. Wouldn't do it in Fort Worth. Doesn't want to start there. He wants to start right here in Sin City. You know, Fort Worth is more modest. Are you aware of that? I mean, they just hope they could get over the little fence or something. But here we shoot for the sun, you know, and the moon and the stars. You know, I love Dallas because they just go for broke. And then they're broke. You know, I love that. I love that. You know, so Dallas is weird. Weird. So this is where he wants to start with, you know, people like that. There are a lot of bars in Dallas. I don't know if you know that. A lot of bars. And there are a lot of churches. A lot of churches, a lot of bars. An interesting combo. It's an interesting combination. Now, I don't know why God chose Dallas, but I totally believe that God said, I'm going to begin the last revival. Billy Graham's been praying for a revival. Y'all aware? Yeah, that's what he's been praying for. He's sick right now, but he'll be okay. But he's going to perish at a certain point. But his prayer right now is his whole ministry means nothing. Here's what we need. We need a spiritual revival. Well, Billy doesn't know where it's going to take place. It's right here.
Awesome.
Amen? And some of you are part of it. Could you say amen? Could you say amen?
Amen.
Alex has been praying for years. How many years have you been praying for it?
Forever.
Long time. And there's a whole bunch of people in this town. I know who a lot of them are. And they pray fervently. And there's been many prophecies over this city that this is where the end time revival would happen, would begin. Not end here, but just begin. To start something for a new kind of America. And I've talked some of the political candidates into coming to Dallas, Fort Worth more often. Forget Houston and San Antonio and Austin and stuff. This is the place where God is going to work. I don't tell them that part. I just tell them, you better come here. Because if you don't come here, you're going to miss what's going on. And I'm going to call this afternoon another one and tell him, you get here. And he'll do it. He'll do it. He will absolutely do it. So, you want to win? This is the place to come. Amen?
Amen.
Do y'all see that? Where God is working. It's always good to line up with God. Wherever he's working, I'd line up with him. When he's handing out those freebies, take them. I'll take one of those. I already know that God will take you as you are, just without one plea. He doesn't want you to shape up or look good. Just don't worry about it. Relax. He loves you just the way you are. He doesn't care that you're hypocrites. He doesn't care that you're sinners. He doesn't care about that. All he cares about is start with faith and then don't stop. Then disciple. You have to be discipled, disciplined. Okay? Killed. It's a better way of saying it. You got to go through the furnace, the affliction, the fire. I could read the whole Old Testament, and I do, I read it all the time. I could read the whole Old Testament and show you how that's exactly what he wants. As Jesus came to judge, I know he said he didn't, but he did. He is the fire. He actually caused Judaism to change. He sent such a furnace on them, they've never recovered. They had to change the whole Jewish religion away from Moses into the Pharisee thing. So now all it is washing cups and pickles and stuff like that. Is that kosher or is that not kosher? No, I'm serious. That's all it is now. Because there's nothing left inside because it was pure hypocrisy. They never did it. They were never perfect. Why? Why could they never do it? I'm going to close. Why could they never do it? Because under the law, nothing is made perfect. Nothing. And they're under the law, the Torah. The law of Moses. You can't do it. Moses can't perfect you. He can only tell you, behave yourself, don't do wrong. Yeah, but he can't help you. He won't forgive you if you do wrong, and he can't help you to do right. But Jesus came, not like the law of Moses, but he came to offer good news to sinners who had failed the Moses test. If you never kept God's covenant, you can still get in through Jesus. You can profane the temple and still be accepted by the blood of Jesus, who did not profane the temple. So Jesus did it right. And you've now become his temple. You're his temple. And he dwells in you. There's the difference right there. You're not profaned because Jesus made you holy, holy, holy. 4, 5, and 6. Now the best has been saved to the last. So this message will go throughout the whole world. It doesn't matter what you see today. This message is so powerful. God is about to come back, take his bride to himself, put the enemy in trouble, bind him up, throw him in a pit, and all that stuff. And for 1,000 years, we will rule and reign on earth. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
It's a matter of believing, not doing. Don't worry about doing. Let Jesus do it all for you. Then let him do it all in you. Then let him do it all through you. What did I preach today? For, in, through. That's three prepositions. For you, you didn't help. Then in you, you didn't help. And then through you, you didn't do it. He did it. So the best. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a powerful word it is. So that we'll be ready when he returns. For the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you all ready to get married?
Yep.
Yeah. Jerry, I want you to be ready. I want you to get your dress ready. Get your hair in order. Get the photographer. Get the, you know, everything you're supposed to be doing. Because I want all of us to be in that wedding. We're all going to have our pictures took. You know, it'll be great. It'll be great. How many know that Jesus is really coming back for a bride? And this thing is going to be in all the papers. It will be front news. Do you know we're going to rule the world? Are you aware of that? We're going to be ruling the world. All right. You'll take China. You take India. You know, and so on. I'll just be handing out. But, of course, I'm not doing anything. I'll probably get Togo or something, you know, Togo. You get Togo. And I'm going to rejoice in it, because whatever God gives you, it's okay. But I trust him. I trust God. Do you all trust God?
Yes.
So don't change your marriage. Don't change your business. Don't change your ears. Don't change your belly. Don't do all that stuff that people do. Just relax. Be yourself. Just be what you are. Let Jesus do it all.
Yep.
He's the only one in the world that can do anything. You're not free to do it. He's free to do anything he wants. And what he wants? Bless you. He wants to bless you. Do you know that every blessing in spiritual places is yours? It's yours. He can't give you second. He can't put you at the back of the line.